Well, I'm happy to be here with you tonight, and I do want to ask for an interest in your prayers because I know that I need them. And Brother Steve asked me the other night if I preached tonight, and I studied yesterday, and it seemed like I had something going, and then just, I guess that wasn't what I was supposed to have, so I would ask for your prayers tonight, if thou would help me in this. And I remember the first thing that was on my mind when my brother asked is, was in 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, and it's the day and the time we live in, and I think that is important, and we know the day and the time we live in. But then I had another thought that came to my mind that was in a sermon that somebody preached here some time ago. He asked a question, and it was, who are we? You know, it's something to think about, who are we? And then he went and he answered a question. We are the Church of Christ. And I believe this. We are the Church of Christ. And I believe as his church we do have a great responsibility. We are his children. We are his servants. And in this we have a great responsibility. And I believe also a great privilege to serve him. To do those things that are right before him. And I believe as members of his church, that is our responsibility. I also believe it is our desire. It is our desire to be doing what is pleasing and right before him. I'd like to turn over to the Book of Mormon and read just a couple verses. And it's on page, and it's 224, it's in the Book of Mosiah. And we know of their surety and truth because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which has wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come, and were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. And it is the faith which we have had on the things which our King has spoken unto us, and has brought us to this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceedingly great joy. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God to do his will, and to be obedient to his commandments in all things that he shall command us all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God. And now these are the words which King Benjamin desired of them. And therefore he said unto them, you have spoken the words that I desired, and the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And I believe we have entered into this covenant with our Heavenly Father, that we are, and we have made it, that we are willing to follow his commandments. And this, I think, also is a great privilege for us, but also, again, a great responsibility to be doing that which is pleasing and right before him. I turn also over in the Book of Mormon into the Book of Moroni. Page 763. I think most of these scriptures I'm going to try and read tonight, they are speaking to us. And they are things that we need to be doing and following. This is in the 7th chapter. And now I, Moroni, write a few of the words of my father Mormon, which he spake concerning faith, hope, and charity. For after this manner did he speak unto the people, as he taught them in a synagogue, which he had built for the place of his worship, place of worship. And now I, Mormon, speak unto you, my beloved brethren, and it is by the grace of God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and his holy will, because of the gift of his calling unto me, that I am permitted to speak unto you at this time. Wherefore I would speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have attained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth until ye shall rest with him in heaven. And I believe that is the desire of each of us, is to be with our Heavenly Father. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. And a lot of times I look at myself when I read some of these scriptures and ask myself if my works have been good. Do people know me by my works? Do they show what I believe? And my prayer would be that they would. And I think it is important to remember that this time has, again, been given to us as a time to prepare ourselves, time to be doing those things that are right before our Heavenly Father, to be following His commandments, to be doing those things that are pleasing before Him. And I think it's always important to remember that if we are having trouble and problems in this life, that He is always there waiting for us. He will help us. I'd like to also turn over to the Book of Mormon. And this is in the second book of Nephi. And I believe each one of these scriptures tonight are going to be familiar to us. And starting with in the 13th chapter, and I think I'll start in the 27th verse. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into that straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come this far, save it were by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And in the 27th verse, it asks us there if all is done after we have gotten this straight and narrow path. And I don't believe it is. I think this is where it starts. Once we get in this straight and narrow path, we need to be doing, again, the things that are pleasing before Him, that we can stay in this straight and narrow path. We need to stay in this path. And going on to 28th verse, or 29th, we need to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of love, of hope, and a love of God and of all men. And this, again, I believe we need. We need this perfect brightness of hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ to get us through and lead us through this life. And we need to have this love of God, that He will lead us and direct us. And I think this needs to be evident in our life. And I also want to just read one verse here on love. It's in the admonition. In the 6th verse. Love ye me, and love all people. Love as I have loved you. This your calling, this my purpose. Thus be my disciples true. Then in this exalted station, your companion I will be. Every promise of my scripture will be verified in thee. And I do believe we need this love of God and the love of each other. And that we do need to continue, as it says here in the 30th verse, of feasting upon His Word. We need to be studying His Word and feasting upon this. And that we need to press forward, coming closer to Him. I'd like to read just one more scripture on in 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter. And I think I'll start with the 14th verse. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, I believe these scriptures have been given to us for our help, to draw us closer unto Him, and again, for our instruction of doing that which is right before Him. I'd like to all go now into the Book of Mormon. Page 566. I think I'll start two verses I want to mainly read here, but I think I'll start with the first verse. Behold, now it came to pass in the 69th year of the reign of the judges over the people of the Nephites, that Nephi, the son of Helaman, returned to the land of Zarahemla from the land northward, for he had been forth among the people who were in the land northward, and did preach the word of God unto them, and did prophesy many things unto them. And they did reject all his words, insomuch that he could not stay among them, but returned again into the land of his nativity. And seeing the people in a state of such awful wickedness, and those Gadianton robbers filling the judgment seats, having observed the power and authority of the land, laying aside the commandments of God, and not in the least aright before him, doing no justice unto the children of men, condemning the righteous because of their righteousness, letting the guilty and the wicked go unpunished because of their money. Sometimes that may sound a little bit like today. And moreover, to be held in office at the head of government, to rule and do according to their wills, that they might get gain and glory of the world. And moreover, that they might the more easy commit adultery and steal and kill and do according to their own wills. Now this great iniquity had come upon the Nephites in the space of not many years. And when Nephi saw it, his heart was swollen with sorrow within his breast. And he did exclaim in the agony of his soul, "Oh, that I could have had my days in the days when my father Nephi first came out of the land of Jerusalem, that I could have enjoyed with him in the promised land. Then were his people easy to be entreated, firm to keep the commandments of God, and slow to be led to iniquity. And they were quick to hearken unto the words of the Lord. Yea, in my days, if my days could have been in those days, then would my soul have had joy in the righteousness of my brethren." And I think we can see here that Nephi at this time was down. But the main verse I really wanted to bring out here is the 7th verse. And this is the condition that I would pray that I could be in always. That I could be easily to be entreated, firm to keep the commandments of God, slow to be to do iniquity, and quick to hearken unto the words of the Lord. And that's the condition that I want to be in, that I may do His will. Again, I believe that the Lord has, as I said, given us these scriptures to help us and to lead us and direct us in this time we have here. And I'd like to bring out just maybe a few more verses or scriptures of what we need to be doing in this time. I'd like to turn over to Philippians. In the 4th chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And I believe that's what we need to do. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It tells us here that we are to think on these things. Those things that are true and honest, that are just, that are pure, that are of lovely, that are of good report. And if there be any virtue and praise, these are the things that we're to think on. I'd like to turn also over into Romans. And read just some out of here in the 12th chapter. I think I'll start the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And again, I believe that's what we want to be doing. This perfect will of God. For I say that through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we be many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I think it tells us here that we are the body of Christ. And I believe that we all have a responsibility. We all have something that we can do. And we all need to take part in this work. Let love be without dissimulation. And abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And I do believe that we do need this brotherly love, this love for each other, this day and time that we live in, to help us through this time. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, with patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, gifts given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own receipts, and recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think a lot of times that can be hard for us. But it is a responsibility we have. It is something that we need to be able to do. And we need to be in this condition that we can do this. I turn also over into Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Read just a little bit here. I think I'll start with the first verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And to me that should be uplifting to us, that he wouldn't leave us here alone. He left his Spirit with us here. And he also gave us apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave us this to help us in this time we have here. I'd like to go down now to the 26th verse. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And I think that's so important, that we have our life so full of those things that are from our Heavenly Father, that there is no place for the devil. It is only place for our Heavenly Father. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye their followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And this also should be uplifting to us as a sacrifice that the Lord has given for us. I have a little reading here that my dad had, and I'd just like to read that. God knew our greatest need. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. And I think that should be uplifting to us. God knows our needs, what we are in need of. I'd like to go now over into First Thessalonians. I'd like to read part of this. I believe our brother Frank just had a sermon on this here a little while back, but I'd like to read out just part of this. I think this is speaking to us, talking to us. This is in the fifth chapter. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travel upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. And I don't believe we are. I believe we know the day and the time we're living in. We know that the time is short, and I think we can see that as we look around us in the world today, that Satan is at work, and that we need to be so careful in the world. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. I believe we are the children of light. And I'd like to read just a couple of verses in the Book of Mormon. It tells us what this light is. Page 651. I think I'll start with the 46th verse. Therefore, blessed are ye if you shall keep my commandments, which the Father has commanded me, that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall you pray among my in my church, among my people who do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set the example for you. And this is Christ speaking here. And he is the light, and he has, in the scriptures, and his word, and his life, has given us the examples to follow. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And I know this, that in this, that our brother Jeff has said, usually he's used this, I think he said, in about every sermon he's preached. We do need to have this breastplate of faith and love, and to put a hope, or helmet, the hope of salvation. And again, I believe that is the hope of each one of us here. It's this hope of salvation with our Heavenly Father one day. I'd like to go down to the 14th verse. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And I think in this verse that I think I probably fall short here quite a bit of warning them that are unruly. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. I know that I probably don't warn the unruly like I should. I don't probably have the patience that I should have. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And I think that's important, that we do need to pray, especially in the day and the time we live in, without ceasing. I know we need each other's prayers, and I know that I have received the prayers of you, my brothers and sisters. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. And I think that's important. We must let His Spirit work in us, have place in us, and let it guide and direct and lead us, and not put it out. Despise not prophesying, prove all good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Again, I believe we need to pray for one another, for our brothers and sisters, and be thankful for the blessings that we have received. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. And I think that's all that's important, that we have this love here between each other. And I remember when Diane and Melissa were talking about this, that they didn't think that we maybe hugged and that as much as we used to. And I think that's something we need. A handshake, a hug, a kiss, that we show the love that we have and the care for each other. I think that's important in our lives. And I think when we do this, that we can feel the love that we have from each other. And I pray tonight that I may have brought us something that will be of worth to each one of us. And I'd like to go back and read, just in closing, parts of two scriptures I read. And one is in this here, 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter and 9th verse. And this verse, I believe, should be uplifting to us, and this is the 9th verse. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this is what he wants for us, is salvation with him. And also in the Book of Mormon, I'd like to go to page 567 and read just this one verse that I believe this is how I want to be. In the 7th verse. Then were his people easy to be entreated, firm to keep the commandments of God, slow to be led to do iniquity, and they were quick to hearken unto the words of the Lord. Yea, and if my days could have been in those days, then would my soul had joy in the righteousness of my brother. I believe that this is the condition that I want to be in, I believe each one of us want to be in, that we are quick to hearken unto his words, and that we do put them to use in our life. Thank you.